And would you take God's word and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23, and we're going to look at one verse in particular this morning, Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. We have been in the series, The Power of the Cross, and looking at the power, the effect of the cross of the Lord Jesus. We've looked at the power of love. And today we want to look at the power of forgiveness at the cross. The power of forgiveness at the cross. Notice now, Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The power of forgiveness at the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for the power of your word, and thank you for the power of forgiveness that we see at the cross. Even in his dying moments, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out for forgiveness. And Father, I thank you for that. I would ask that you would speak to our hearts, help us to stay alert throughout the message. And may you change our life as a result of hearing thy word today, in Jesus' name, amen. The last words of dying people are interesting and tell you a lot about their character. One of the favorite preachers of yesteryear that I like to read from and read about, Dwight L. Moody. It was said of him that God used him to shake two continents for Christ. As he lay dying, he said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me, and I must go." His son, who was there beside him, said, "Dad, you're dreaming." And Moody went on and said, "I am not dreaming. I have been within the gates. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." The dying words of people are very interesting and very telling. And the Word of God tells us the dying words of the Lord Jesus as he hung on the cross. And they begin, if you would, with a prayer. A prayer of forgiveness. Notice with me, if you would, again the verse here in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. Then said Jesus, this is while he is hanging on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want you to notice that these words, first of all, are a prayer. There are seven sayings of the Lord Jesus on the cross, and three of them is a reference of prayer, and this is the first words of the Lord Jesus on the cross. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ begins this prayer with "Father." What is interesting about that is, if you remember, his disciples had asked him before he got to the cross, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus says, "All right, here is a model prayer for you." And it starts off with the two words, "Our Father." So in his dying words, we find him as he prays, he lifts up his eyes towards heaven and he cries out and says, "Father." The Lord Jesus, while he was on the earth, lived a life of prayer. You have your Bibles with me, turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse number 35. I just want to notice a few passages that show you, before Jesus went to the cross, how he lived out a life of prayer. Notice in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. This is speaking of Jesus, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." So again, before he got into the hustle and bustle of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ goes up many times even into a mountain area, and he got alone and he prayed. Notice with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14 and verse number 13. Verse number 23. Notice again, the Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone." And then you will find, you don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible says that now Jesus, sometimes people ask, what is Jesus doing now? Well, the Bible gives us the answer in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is making intercession for us. So he's still in the pattern and practice of prayer. While on earth he prayed, while on the cross he prayed, now in heaven he intercedes, he prays for us. You see, when we look at this here in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, it just reveals to us that the Lord Jesus lived a life of prayer. And I don't know about you, but when I consider this, I am challenged in my own heart, my own spirit, because I want to be a man of prayer. I want to be a person of prayer. I want you to be a person of prayer that not just comes to your meal time and gives God thanks for the food, which is important, but be in a spirit of prayer throughout your day. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Lord Jesus Christ definitely lived a life of prayer. Notice now, same verse, back to Luke 23, where we see the point of his prayer. Not only his prayer, but note the point. Why was he praying? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So here the Lord Jesus is praying a prayer of forgiveness. Very clear, by the way, it says here, "Forgive them." Have you thought about who the them is? Who is he talking about here? Well, I think in context, one, he's speaking of the Roman soldiers who pounded the nails into his hands and into his feet. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same men later at the scene of the cross of the Lord Jesus are throwing dice to see who would get his clothes. Father, forgive them. Again, in the context, we find that I believe the them is the religious leaders who wanted him to be crucified, primarily the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They ultimately cried out, "Crucify him." As he's hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them. Think about Pilate as Jesus is standing before Pilate. He didn't say really much as he stood before Pilate. Pilate was amazed with the innocency of the Lord Jesus. He was amazed so much so that he said to his accusers, "I, Pilate, your leader, I find no fault in him." Praise God, you never will. There is no fault in Jesus. Yes, he was confronted with sin. He was faced with sin, but he knew no sin. So Pilate, finding no fault in him, goes over to his basin of water and he washes his hands and he says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just man." And yet as Jesus hung there on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Caiaphas, the high priest, "I want nothing to do with that just man." So when Jesus hung there on the cross, "Father, forgive them," he was thinking of those individuals, but I think Jesus Christ was also looking on down the road to people like you and me who would one day be born into this world. In other words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. People that have gone on before us, forgive them, yes. But now here in the present, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. I think the Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity, the sin of us all. Why? Because all are guilty before God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24, speaking of Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh no, you and I, if you would, were not physically around when Jesus, one, was born and then died and rose again. No, we were not, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to cleanse, to forgive. And we find this morning in this context of Scripture that Jesus, as he's hanging there on the cross, soon to draw his last breath, and before he does, he cries out, "It is finished." But before he does any of that, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was the point of the prayer. He was asking for the Father to forgive. And notice then with me, if you would, not only his prayer, and not only the point of his prayer, but think about this, the power of his prayer. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we, any of us, confess our sins, say the same thing about our sins as he does, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. He wanted us to know, church, this morning, that no matter what we have done, we can be forgiven. I have run into some people along my Christian journey who have said words like the following, "You don't know what I have done. What I have done is so bad, God cannot forgive me." And no matter what I show them from the Word of God, no matter what I show them about what Jesus Christ did on the cross and how his blood can forgive them of all of their sin, no matter how bad it was, some walk away and say, "No, you just don't know what I have done." But I am telling you this morning that no matter what you have done, you can experience the forgiveness of sins. I think about a preacher who had told, or he was 12 years old at the time, and he had killed one of the family geese by throwing a stone and hitting that goose right in the head. Figuring his parents wouldn't notice that one of the 24 birds were missing, he buried the bird. That evening, his sister called him aside and said, "I saw what you did. If you don't offer to do the dishes tonight, I'll tell mother." The next morning, she gave him the same warning. All that day and the next, the frightened boy just felt bound to do the dishes. But the following morning, however, his sister, by telling her it was her turn, just really surprised her that he would say that, when she quietly reminded him of what she could do, like, "I got this over you," he replied, "I've already told mother and she has forgiven me. Now you do the dishes. I'm free again." Hey, I want to tell you this morning that when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he sets you free. He sets you free. Sin binds. I think about that demoniac man found in Mark chapter 5 and how he was bound by sin, and men would take him. And remember where he lived for a while? He lived in a graveyard. What a strange place to live. But he was removed from family. He was removed from the town. No man tried to really touch him. They did try to tame him. They bound him with chains, but he would break those chains asunder. Say, man, what a Superman. No, it just tells you about the power of sin. Until he saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus that day, then Jesus delivered him from sin and set him free. And the Bible says that that man, after he met Jesus, was sitting clothed and in his right mind. How is that possible? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, this is the power of this prayer. That every man, every woman, every boy, every girl can experience this forgiveness today. And please notice, it is not a matter of us coming to some individual and confessing our sins. It is us going straight to the Father through Jesus Christ, whose blood cleanseth us from all sin. What power in the blood of the Lord Jesus! I want you to consider this with me. In the fourth place, I want you to notice his plan in all of this. Not only is it a matter of the forgiveness of our sins, but his plan is what I'm going to call a 70x7 plan. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you know the Word of God, you do. The 70x7 plan is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, where Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord, asked Jesus, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Good question. Till seven times? In other words, just seven's the limit, right, Lord? Well, here's the answer of the Lord. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times, good. I've forgiven Howard 490 times. I don't have to do the 491st time. That's not what Jesus was teaching. He was teaching that you just live in a state of continuing to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to forgive. He wasn't saying that there is a cutoff to the forgiveness. And we find that here the plan of the Lord Jesus is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And to whom much is given, much is required. We have been forgiven of our sins. So therefore, we have a God-given plan to forgive others. Think about the matter of forgiving others for a moment. Forgiving another means we let go of the grudge and don't hold people's faults and failures against them. Say, I can't do that. I didn't say it was easy. But do you think about the very word forgiven? The very word in the Bible means to let go. In the Old Testament scriptures, we have an account of how that they had what was called the Day of Atonement. Brother Dave alluded to this in the adult class this morning. And how that a goat was brought before. And the priest would have this scapegoat. And that goat was let go to go out into the wilderness. And it was a symbol, if you would, signifying, even when we come up to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Here's what we ought to know. When God forgives us of our sins, he doesn't bring them back up again. Amen? He doesn't bring the sin back up again and say, oh, do you remember what you did here? No. Now, that would be Satan. Satan loves to accuse the brethren. But we have the Lord Jesus who makes intercession for us. But I will tell you this morning that forgiveness, when we are in the process of forgiving another person, it means that we let go. We don't bring, you say, well, that's good. God can do that. I'm not God, and I struggle with that. I hear you. But at the same point, if you truly have forgiven someone, you don't keep bringing it back up again. There you go again. There you go again. There you go again. No, forgiveness says I'm going to let go of the grudge and not hold people's faults and failures against them. It's not easy to forgive those who hurt us deeply. It's not easy to let go of the pain and the disappointment we feel. So no, it's not easy, but it is the clear path to healing and a new lease on life. And you may sit there this morning and say in your spirit, but you don't know, I can't forgive. I praise God that He's forgiven me, but I can't forgive what someone else has done to me. Is it that you can't or that you won't? Because let me answer the can't part of it. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4:32. Listen to it carefully. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, that's not where it stops. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Question, how much of your sin has God forgiven you of? All of it. He didn't go 3/4 of the way and say, I'll forgive you for this. Oh, not going, I'm going to stop right there. No. When He forgave us, He forgave us of all of our sin, even as God, for Christ's sake, hold it, what was that prayer? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now consider this. When you say, or when I say, there, I just can't forgive, then really we are not believing God's word, because we have, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to forgive them. So usually it's not a matter of I can't, it's a matter of I won't. But who's a loser in that? The loser is not the person who offended you. Jesus taught in the Gospels, the loser in that is the person who chooses not to forgive. You're the one that's in a prison. And so when Jesus says from that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was praying for us. And He was praying that we could experience forgiveness of our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but what, church? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that can cleanse us from sin. Not our baptism, not our good works, but only through the person of the Lord Jesus and His shed blood can we find forgiveness. So, Father, forgive them. Let me give you 3 closing thoughts. Jesus' first words from the cross were a prayer. How are you doing in the area of prayer? Are you growing in your prayer life? Or do you just pray the foxhole prayers, as Brother Dave alluded to? Just only when we're in a little bind, we're in a little trouble. Lord, I really need you to help me out. Help me through this. Or is prayer a true intimacy between you and the Lord on a daily basis where you are really growing in prayer? I want to challenge you, church, grow in prayer. You've heard many a sermon from your pastor. You've heard many, have probably read many a book on the subject of prayer. but let's become prayer people. Let's spend 5 minutes this week, every day more than we did this past week, in prayer. Become a person of prayer. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Jesus, in his earthly life, prayed. On the cross, praying. In heaven, interceding for us. If he's doing that for us, let us be a person of prayer. The second thought I want to leave with you this morning, and that is this, is that Jesus forgave people from the cross. And today, praise God, he's not on the cross, but his forgiveness of all of your sin is available to you today. Do you believe that? It is available to you today. You see, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son, the Lord Jesus, to die for you. And as he hung on that cross and said, Father, forgive them, that was not only good for the people that were around that cross that day, but that is good to this day. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be, but shall be saved. You know this. It's one of the joys of my life to be able to talk to somebody about Jesus. When I get the opportunities, I'll ask them the question, if you died today, would you go to heaven, hell, or do you know? Most common answers, you can't really know. I'm thankful that this blessed book tells us we can know. These things, his word, have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And what a privilege it is then to sit down beside somebody and take this precious book and say, and hear them say, you know, this is my need. And cry out and say, Lord, save me. And at that moment, they enter in to great forgiveness of all of their sin. Then the third thought I want to leave with you is this. His final words are a call to us to forgive others. Who is it that you are struggling to forgive? Family member? A coworker? Church member? Who is it you are struggling to forgive? Take heed to the word of the Lord Jesus and take it as a challenge. If you're struggling to forgive, then this week, pray for them every day. Say, why would you want me to pray for them? That's what Jesus said to do. He said to pray for those that despitefully use you. You don't know what they've done. Well, hold it. Jesus does. Pray for them. You say, well, nothing may change. Maybe nothing will change with them, but a lot will change in your heart. Because you see, it's hard to pray for someone and hold unforgiveness toward them daily. Years ago in my life, I experienced this personal struggle where God was challenging me to forgive a couple of men. I'll be honest with you. I did not want to do it. And if I did pray, it would be like a kind of prayer, Lord, fry them. Now, say, really, preacher, you'd pray that? Well, I'm not the Apostle Peter by any means, but kind of remember what Peter prayed? Sort of like that. Lord, bring down fire from... I really wasn't wishing harm upon them, but I was not in the spirit to pray for those men. But I said, all right, Lord, I'll begin to do what you want me to do. And the verse he used was from the Sermon on the Mount. Bless them. Pray for them. So I got on my knees and I began to pray for these two men. Did anything change in their life? I don't know. I asked the Lord to bless them. I asked the Lord to do other things in their life, to help them and so forth. But you know, I don't know what happened in their life, but I can tell you what happened in my life. I was released from the spirit of unforgiveness. I wasn't in a prison anymore. And so you see, when Jesus died on that cross praying, "Father, forgive them," it was the power of forgiveness. It was displayed there at the cross to not only forgive us of our sin, but to give us as his followers the ability then to forgive others. So today, as the Holy Spirit of God may be working in your heart through his word this morning, I want to challenge you this week. If you're struggling to forgive anyone, pray for them this week. Pray for them this week. Pray for them this week. So I don't want to. Pray for them this week. So I don't know if it'll do them any good. May or may not. But it will do you a lot of good. Because it will help you be released from the spirit of unforgiveness. Now let me just close with this. Think of Jesus. Think about the people he's praying for. Those Roman soldiers who are making a mockery of Jesus. They spit in his face. With their open hands, the Bible says they slapped him. Others buffeted him. He was so beaten that the Bible says you couldn't even recognize him. And so here's Jesus hanging on the cross. "Father, forgive every one of them, for they know not what they do." And that everyone includes you. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never experienced forgiveness of sin, come to Jesus today. Enter into that forgiveness of all of your sin. And he will meet you at your point of need. And he will today do exactly what he promised, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what a challenge that we see in the life of the Lord Jesus to hang there on the cross, and his first words are a prayer, as you know, to you, to forgive others. Thank you for the power of forgiveness at the cross. For those who have never entered into that power of forgiveness at the cross, may they today come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and to know what it is to have their sins forgiven. And Father, for those that know Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life, I don't know, but some might be struggling with forgiving others. Help them to realize this morning from your word that no matter what someone has done to them, through your grace, you give them the ability to forgive others. May they today be set free from a spirit of unforgiveness if that is what is dwelling in their life. Help them to let it go and cast it over on you and to pray for their offender. And Father, they would be able to be released from that prison of unforgiveness. Thank you again for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin.